When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Cool. All right. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Allie. How are you?
I'm wonderful. It's so great to see you.
It's always good to see you too.
Yeah. Especially over the next 2 weeks, I won't be recording with you. So this will be our last recording for a couple of weeks because I'm moving. Yes. Which bums me out.
We will have episodes. They just won't include you.
Yeah. So you should definitely still listen, I guess, but I won't be in them.
But you will be back in 3 weeks for the one after that. So
yeah, and I'll be in Austin. I'll be in a whole new place.
Ooh, I'm so excited for you.
Thank you.
You might not be able to wear your sweater in Austin.
Yeah, right. Okay, cool. So today we are talking about the concept of colorism. Mm-hmm. Which is a subset or a subtopic within the topic of racism. Mm-hmm. And colorism is something that happens, I mean, with everyone, but I think usually when you're talking about colorism, you're talking about it within a specific group of people of color. So as an example, a movie came out recently called In the Heights, which is based on a musical. It's one of my favorite musicals ever, written and directed by the same person who wrote and directed Hamilton, which totally blew up last year. And In the Heights is about a community of Latin American / Hispanic people in New York. Dominicans, Puerto Ricans, all kind of one of the big concepts of that movie is you have this whole kind of melting pot of South America in this area. But the movie is getting a lot of backlash right now because all the actors who were cast were light skinned, some of them white passing actors. Mm-hmm. Whereas if you were actually to visit Washington Heights in New York and meet the kind of people that are supposed to be represented in this film, a large swath of them would be what people refer to as Black Hispanics, right? People mm-hmm. with African ancestry who are dark-skinned, deep-skinned, who come from the same country, speak the same language, but there is a consistent problem. And I've seen it in Black communities, I've seen it in Latin communities, I've seen it in Asian communities, where even if you are, you know, full-blooded Korean or full-blooded Colombian or whatever, if you have darker skin, that is seen as less desirable, you are seen as different. And in a lot mm-hmm. of media, when we are portraying people of color, we tend to see lighter skinned people more frequently than darker skinned people. And this is not just a problem within The Heights. And I've seen In the Heights. I loved it. I cried like 8 times. It's one of my favorite musicals. And I think it's an exceptional film, mm-hmm. but it does have that problem. Like I can attest to this. This is a fact and this is really unfortunate. And the director, did he direct the movie? Mm-hmm. Regardless, the writer of In the Heights acknowledged it and apologized for it, mm-hmm. which is, you know, the first step to solving anything like this. But, you know, the movie's out now. They can't take the movie back and recast it. And it's such an interesting concept that has been around colorism for forever, mm-hmm. right? Like, It was a thing in I know a lot of Asian countries because it's like, okay, if you are nobility, you sit in a castle all day, you never get any sun and you end up being very pale. If you are a farm worker and you're out in the sun all day and you get super tan, right? There's this, it boils down a lot to class and economics. And it has prevailed even into now, for like no reason, right? Like we in America, at least, are not really subdivided into those class systems anymore, as far as like, well, I guess we are white collar and blue collar workers, but regardless, we wanted to talk about colorism today, specifically talking about In the Heights as an example, but in general for people to be thinking about.
I don't know if you've heard this in all of your life, because I mean, I'm a white woman, right? So I don't, I've never heard this. I always hear like, you must burn really fast because you're so fair complexion, whatever. But my daughter has heard things like, well, you're not that black. You know, I was presenting to a group once, and I was telling, showing my daughter, and one of the women goes, well, you know, I said something about my daughter's, you know, mix black and white, and the woman, and this, I was in a group of all black people. And she goes, well, she's not really black enough. And I was like, what is black enough?
Yeah.
Like, you know,
this is why we say race is a social construct. We have decided, or people decide on their own, what is white, what is black, what is this and that and so on. And it has to do with behaviors. It has to do with social class. It has to do with the music you listen to and the clothes that you wear and the color of your skin. But it's all made up. It's all entirely made up.
And I was some kind of dumbfounded when the woman said that. And I've thought of a million things I could have said in response since then, like, well, the people who discriminate against her think she's black enough to discriminate against her.
Yeah.
You know, kind of thing. Because of course she's experienced that her whole life. You know, and as a mom, I always tried to shelter her from those kinds of things, but you can't, you know, forever. You can try to help kids understand who they are and grow up and that kind of thing. But people in the world are people in the world, and they're going to make judgments.
Yeah.
Like that.
It's a weird thing, especially like, yeah, being mixed like your daughter. I have a lot of white privilege because I am light skinned. And so people do treat me differently because I am not black enough. And maybe to them, black enough is a negative connotation. And then on the other side, you have, I've had black people darker skinned than me, tell me that I'm not black enough. Or that I'm too white, and then that has a negative connotation to it. So there is no winning. I mean, in the case of colorism, there is a there is a privilege associated with being lighter skinned, and like my mind goes back to, you know, there's all sorts of reasons for it. Like I stated before, but my mind goes back to slavery in America, where if you were light skinned, it often meant that you were a house slave. So you had more privileges. Maybe if you were a product of relations between a slave master and a slave, and you were lighter skinned, you got certain privileges, right? Which is such an ugly, it's like, great. I mean, I get treated
owned by somebody.
Exactly. I get treated better because my mother was raped. Like, what the heck does that even, like, you know, it's such a twisted, weird thing. And yeah, I remember when I was little, I always wanted to be more black. I always wished that my skin was deeper, that my hair was more like my mom's, that my nose and my lips were bigger, because that, I mean, that was my standard of beauty, was my mother, who's a quote unquote full black woman. But yeah, it's this rhetoric that we put into people's heads that the lighter you are, the better. And it's super unfortunate.
Lydia's hair is like reddish brown. And it's just, that's how she's born. That's how she's always had this reddish brown hair. Curly for sure, right? But reddish brown. And so people will often say to her, well, what are you? Because she is very Hispanic passing. And, you know, if she puts on, this is going to sound so stereotypical, but she puts her on, you know, like a low cut top and big hoop earrings and tight jeans. And immediately people assume she's Hispanic because she's like wearing Hispanic, you know, outfit or whatever. Oh my gosh, I hate to even say that, but it's true. That's the kind of things that people assume about her. She's been asked if she's Italian. You know, she's been asked if she's Hispanic. She's, and almost nobody says, you know, oh, you're black, because she doesn't have darker hair. Yeah. Or, and in the wintertime, I mean, by August, her skin, because she loves going outside and at the beach or the pool, whatever. And so she darkens up over the summer, just like most people do. But then people assume that she's black. But in like February, no, not so much.
Yeah, I got the same thing when I was younger and I lived in New York. I had people assuming that I was Dominican all the time. People would just, even here in Miami, people come up to me and just start speaking Spanish. And I'm just like,
no hablo español.
No hablo español. Lo siento, me culpa. But yeah, it's people just make these assumptions. Yeah. And yeah, it can be really hurtful.
Well, the hardest thing about making assumptions, it isn't just that somebody's making an assumption based on the color of your skin of where you might be from, right? So like, it's, you know, people see me and they don't, and they assume like, oh, she's probably European somewhere in her background because she's a white girl, you know, kind of thing. But they make assumptions based on where they want to categorize you, right? So it isn't just curiosity of, oh, I wonder what your lineage is. And, you know, oh, do you have really cool stories about your family? And it's none of that kind of stuff, right? It's always like, well, where am I going to put her on a scale of 1 to 10? Where does she fall in how I'm supposed to interact with her? Like, you know, the blacker she is she further down the list, or the, you know, those kinds of things. And it, and I know I mentioned this before, and I think this is a really good way to kind of understand how people classify others based on their ethnicities, is we have this wage gap in America. So there's a woman's wage gap. I'm going to talk about women specifically because that's how this applies. There's a wage gap, and then we have something called Equal Pay Day every year. It usually falls sometime in April. And what that is how far into the next year a woman has to work in order to make the same wages that a man did in her same exact position the year prior. And this, the last year I was looking at that, and I actually stumbled upon some other information, and I'm going to probably say this all incorrectly, but the concept is correct. When we talk about Equal Pay Day, we're talking about what a white woman, how far into the next year a white woman has to work to make the equal pay of somebody in her, a man in her role the prior year. Because if you start to break down ethnicities and where that falls for women, it's usually somewhere in the summertime for Black women. It's somewhere in, like, I think it was like July for Black women, August or September for Hispanic women, and almost, it was like October or November for Native American women. So that tells you right there that people will judge and put you in a category of value based on the color of your skin and your ethnic heritage.
Yeah, absolutely. And
that's shitty. I'm gonna say a swear word. It's shitty.
It is shitty. I'd be so interested to see like a Twilight Zone episode where suddenly everyone wakes up blind and like you can't make those assumptions anymore, because it's virtually impossible most of the time to try to guess what somebody, like you were talking about with your daughter, and B, it's worth nothing. It gives you no information about who, like, okay. My favorite drag queen is named Trixie Mattel. And when she is out of drag and she is presenting as a boy, well, all the time, technically, that person is fully half Native American. Mm-hmm. But if you were to look at this person out of drag, right, they look like the whitest white person you've ever seen in your whole entire life. You would never in a million years guess that they were half Native American. Mm-hmm. And like, I find it so interesting whenever she talks about her Native American background, because it's like, I always forget. And so it's like, it's, I mean, not only are you fully dressed like a woman, right? That's already one assumption out the window, but like, it just, I don't know. It makes me so crazy that like, and then like, you know, on the other side, you have this whole thing about like, oh, colorblind casting, right? Like, so like within the Heights, it's like, oh, well, that was the excuse, right? Is we cast the best actors for the role. We didn't look at the color of their skin. This is a film about culture. Mm-hmm. This is a film specifically about Latin American individuals, their dreams, their histories, their backstories. Mm-hmm. It's important to look at the color of their skin in that scenario. And right. they knew that.
Well, what's interesting too, so it's Lin-Manuel Miranda's In the Heights. He wrote that. Mm-hmm. He also wrote Hamilton, as you said. And Hamilton is a story about white people. And there is only one white person in the cast, and that's King George, right? Mm-hmm. And so everybody else in the cast of Hamilton is either Hispanic or Black.
Varieties of shades, too. You have really deep-skinned people. You have very light-skinned people. Right. It's super, super, super dark, which is what makes the In the Heights thing so disappointing, which is like, dude, you hit it right on the head with this first one.
Yeah.
What happened? Like, why?
So if you wanted to flip the script, it would be In the Heights played by all white people. I'm kidding.
It's crazy. I mean, it practically was. It was all of these very, very, very light skinned people. And it was, there was one dark skinned character, but he was the Black guy. Right. He was not Latin. He was Black.
Right. Exactly.
Frustrating,
you know. And then within the Latin Hispanic communities, there's also talk about that even if it was a darker person, well, they're still there, you know. Jimmy Smits is Mexican, he's not, you know, Puerto Rican or Dominican. Mm-hmm. and you know, Washington Heights is a lot of Dominican, so why aren't there more Dominicans in there, you know? So they're actually not even looking at judging people by the color, but actually looking at their lineages and saying that person shouldn't be there at all.
Yeah,
because XYZ, you know. And so it's, I mean, I my only opinion is it was a beautiful, you know, musical. I loved every minute. The music like sticks with you, and like, there's mm-hmm. just such amazing, touching moments. And as a white person, I just have to respect everybody else's opinion of it, because I just was seeing it at face value, and it didn't occur to me that there might be more going on. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, it's just, I, you know, I grew up watching white people on TV. I grew up watching white people in movies. Yeah. And when there was somebody in a movie that was Native American, it was almost always played by somebody who was Italian or white in, you know, Black red face, as they call it for Native American, you know. And then there just weren't people who were Black in the movie. So it's like, if there were Native American people on TV, it was in a role that it was cowboys and Indians, right? Mm-hmm. And it was just,
and the Native Americans were the bad guys.
Yes, always. Yes, mm-hmm. always. And so, you know, you grow up and you know, I'm, as we've said before, I'm a great deal older than you. I know it doesn't feel that way all the time. But I'm definitely old enough to be her mother, because my daughter is her age. But the idea is that I grew up only seeing certain things, right? And I've had to unlearn some of those expectations and have a better understanding now, looking back at, oh my God, that was so wrong. I didn't know it was wrong, because mm-hmm. it's all I knew. And I'm really happy that I'm on a path of understanding and doing better. I always make mistakes. I'm always going to make mistakes, because
everyone does.
That's what somebody who learns is going to make mistakes. But I'm always hoping now that I'm in a better place to help other people, excuse me. And, you know, there's only so much you can do for other people, but especially if you can do better yourself, I guess.
And that's a really good, I think that's a really good note to end this conversation on, is that, oh my gosh, there's been a car alarm outside my building that has been going off for an hour straight. So I'm really sorry if it comes up in the audio. Oh my gosh, I can't even think now. I feel like I'm being stabbed in the brain. It's a good place to end on, is that, yeah, it, 20, 30, maybe 40 years ago, A, would In the Heights be told at all? Would this story be told at all? Right? A story with no white people. There are no white characters in this whole movie. Would this story be told at all? And if it were, a la West Side Story, would they have cast just pure white people? Right?
Because if you look back at West Side Story, the lead female actor was a white person playing Hispanic.
Yeah. And so we can look at In the Heights and say, yeah, this is a long ways from what films used to look like. That's the glass half full perspective. Mm-hmm. The glass half empty perspective is, but we can and have done so much better than this, mm-hmm. right? It's still not where it needs to be. There's always that kind of balancing act that we have to play of like, you know, I always think back to in the early days of film when if you saw a Black actor in a movie at all, they were a slave or a prostitute or a servant or something like that, which is awful.
Sidekick. Even the best case scenario, they were the sidekick.
Best case scenario. And that probably came a couple of decades after people started putting Black people in films. But it even if somebody was in a film as a maid or whatever, they were in the room. They had their foot in the door. And that started creating more opportunities for representation. It started the ball rolling, right? So we can always look at these things and say, oh, this is terrible. This is awful. This is awful. But I think when we look at it in the larger picture of everything, it's not as bad as it feels. It's just something that needs to be acknowledged and talked about and then improved upon. We can't just say it doesn't matter because it does matter. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's as malicious as a lot of people are making it out to be. I think that's my one problem with this whole controversy is like people who are saying that, you know, the movie is like racist or something like that. No, it's just they got carried away. And I don't think Lin-Manuel Miranda was in charge of the casting. I think there were other people in charge of that. Whereas he, I'm pretty sure, the original Broadway cast of Hamilton. I think he was in charge of that. So, you know, I'm sure we could start a whole other podcast about colorism in media. That's a college course.
It is an interesting topic for sure.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite, objectively speaking, it's one of my favorite topics in the discussion of race and ethnicity. Because I think we think of racism as like Nazis against Jews or against people who are Jewish, or we think of, you know, the KKK against Black people, but within our communities of people of color, we treat each other awfully. And that's a lot of times where the colorism comes in, is when we start breaking it down into class and economics and all these other things. I mean, where I used to live in New York, we're talking about the Dominican population in New York. Yeah. Where I lived in New York, the Dominican people and the Puerto Rican people hated each other. They did not get along. And I never understood it. I'm not part of either of those subcultures, but I was just like, okay, you guys hate each other, I guess, you know? And it's like, why do we have to create animosity between ourselves when we already, again, that's a whole other topic for conversation, but it bothers me and I find it fascinating.
Do you remember when you were a kid, they came out with, Disney came out with the Cinderella movie with Brandy as Cinderella?
I recently watched it when they put it on Disney Plus again, and it is just as good as I remember.
My daughter was confused because the prince was Asian.
Filipino.
Filipino. And the queen was Black.
Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah. And the king was white. And she's
Victor,
like,
Victor Garber, I think.
Yeah, it was. So it's like, how do a Black lady and a white man make him, mom? Like, because it's Disney and they can. Yeah, okay.
It's Disney and they can. They could have adopted him. Like,
right.
Anything could be possible. But yeah, that movie was so ahead of its time as far as not only the dark-skinned Black lead, right? They didn't cast like a Beyonce or a Halle Berry type. It was a dark-skinned actress. It was Whitney Houston, who, she's medium skin tone. I don't think she's as dark as Brandy is. But yeah, the whole thing with the royal family too. And like the evil stepmother was white. One of the stepsisters was white. And then the other stepsister was a heavy set, dark-skinned Black woman, three things together. Are you kidding me? That's crazy. That's amazing. But yeah, I love, 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 love that movie. I still love that movie.
Yeah.
No, like, talk about colorblind casting, but with like almost like tongue in cheek colorblind casting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. With intent. It's, I wish all movies were like that.
It was about the story.
It was about the story. Cause yeah, people love to sit there and say, well, that's not realistic. That's not the bitch. Like,
it's a freaking fairy episode, tale.
It is a made. That's the problem. You're okay with the pumpkin being turned into a carriage. That doesn't bother you. But the fact that a white man and a black woman made an Asian kid, that's where you draw the line. Okay, cool.
Like the mice made the first dress. That's okay.
Yeah, exactly. Jeez Louise.
Anyway. Well, okay. I guess we don't have a catchphrase on this podcast, but if we did, I would adopt the one that so many people are using, and that's we all need to do better and be better.
Yeah, and if I like that.
Moving in a good direction, that's, you know, that's what we'll do.
Yeah, we all need to do better and be better. And like you said earlier, that includes you and me, right? We're not perfect. We are only one people each. We make mistakes. But that's what all this is about, is trying to learn and be better. So I think that's a good catchphrase. We should start saying that.
Okay, let's use it.
We should all learn. What did you say? Do better and be better. Cool.
Be better, yeah.
Awesome. All right. Cool.
Well, happy moving, Allie. We'll see you back in 3 weeks. Next week, I always say we don't know what next week is. I actually do know what next week is this time.
You're going to tease it?
Because I've scheduled it, yeah. So Dan Maybe is going to be joining me. Along with another member of the organizing team for WordFest. We haven't decided who it's going to be yet. We're waiting to see who's available because we're literally all over the world. But we're going to talk about mental health in remote work and how that affects underrepresented people specifically too. And, you know, as a woman and someone with disabilities and people, anybody who has a mental well-being issue is already an underrepresented person. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about that. And then we're also going to talk a little bit about WordFest and that's coming up in July and how that helps to, you know, events like that help to reduce that social isolation that we feel in remote work. So that's what next week.
Yeah. I'm so excited. I'll listen as I'm driving to Texas.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
Bye.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.